Australia's live animal exports to Egypt are back on. The live cattle trade was suspended last year after video footage was released showing animal cruelty during the slaughter process. Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce says trade will resume under the welfare standards of the Exporter Supply Chain Assurance System, otherwise known as ESCAS, and it will cover both sheep and cattle. But the minister says he can't guarantee the humane treatment of all animals shipped to Egypt.
It is just the same as saying, well, we're never going to have another accident on the roads, or there's never going to be another person who ever commits a felony, or there's never going to be another fight at a pub. I mean, you can't make these sort of statements. What you can say is that our management process is always being improved and best adapted to try and minimise these risks.
Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce. Well, Alison Penfold is head of the Australian Livestock Exporters Council. Alison, welcome to breakfast.
Thank you. Good morning.
Alison, it was the Livestock Exporters Council that suspended the trade last year after evidence of cruelty in the slaughtering of these animals. Is the council happy to resume trade with the ESCAS, the Exporter Supply Chain Assurance System, in place? Are you satisfied?
Well, when we put the ban of suspension in place in May 2013, we said very clearly at the time that for us to reconsider reopening the exporting to that market would require placing that market within the ESCAS framework. It was the only market that was being operated, managed under a separate system, and in our view we felt that for exporters we could better manage welfare if it was directly our responsibility rather than under an MOU between two governments.
Okay, so now we have the ESCAS system in place or agreed upon. I'm not sure if it's in place yet. How quickly do you think is the council prepared under the circumstances to resume the live export trade to Egypt, and when will that happen?
Well, there's a couple of steps. First, one of which is that exporters need to get approval for supply chains into the market. There were two systems operating previously in a closed loop where there was no transportation. Animals came off a boat straight into a feedlot and the abattoir was on site. So those have to be audited and approved by the Australian government. And then, of course, exporters have got to look at the commercial circumstances for exporting. Now, one of the facilities I know is currently full of Brazilian cattle. Given that Brazil does not place the same conditions on welfare, it's very difficult for us to compete. The other facility, however, we will likely see livestock heading to that market for Ramadan, which is in late June this year.
Now, in order to be sure, ESCAS is... Maybe just explain for people listening, can you, how this system works? What's so good about it? Why we think we can basically eradicate the cruelty to animals under this ESCAS system?
Well, ESCAS requires exporters to deliver OIE, International Animal Welfare Standards, along the supply chain. And in fact, Australian exporters are required from paddock to point of processing to meet a whole range of standards around welfare. In addition, there's traceability of livestock along the supply chain. There is also auditing of the systems by international independent auditors. And exporters are required to maintain control of livestock along the system. But above and beyond that, the one significant change that's occurred in recent years is that exporters have accepted responsibility for livestock. It's not just about compliance, but it's also a mindset change around accepting responsibility, that even though the animals are no longer legally under their control, they've got a moral responsibility for their welfare right through to the point of slaughter.
But Alison, once we get to the point of slaughter, is there an issue there? I know the RSPCA is not happy with this announcement. It says, you know, Egypt was the first country that had a closed loop system, and then we got these videos that showed what went on there. And the issue still is in terms of the competency of the slaughterman and the adequacy of the equipment involved.
Well, look, I can tell you that people involved in that awful cruelty incident in May 2013 were sacked. So those people aren't around anymore.
About training a new lot?
Well, there's been training since that. There were animals left at the time, and there were people put in place to oversee the slaughter of those animals, and additional training was provided at that time. And indeed, that's always on the table. We've trained now over 4,000 people internationally in animal handling, in slaughter practices. We've provided them with the right knives. We've put in slaughter boxes with stunning equipment. We've provided manuals, training videos, and had them translated into the languages of those markets. We are very actively working hard with our customers and their staff to ensure that the standards of welfare that we deliver meet not only what we feel is appropriate, but also meets what the community expects.
It's coming up towards 8 o'clock. Alison Penfold is our guest. She's the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Livestock Exporters Council. Alison, just following from what you said then, and also the Minister's comments that you can't, you know, guarantee 100% animal welfare. Well, the one way to do that, I suppose, is to slaughter animals here in Australia first, to have no live export trade. Is there any movement on that? Because I know there was a big push for that in terms of the Indonesian market when that went belly up after those videos of cruelty.
Well, it's not a viable option for many producers. I mean, the fact of the matter is there's no impediment now for abattoirs to be built in areas that take livestock exports. And in fact, there are two abattoirs being built, not to compete against live exports, in fact, to be complementary to live exports. They're going to be processing older livestock that aren't suitable for exporting overseas. That'll actually increase productivity on properties for younger cattle that will meet the trade. So there are some very simplistic arguments about take them off a boat and put them in a box, but in practice that's just simply not viable in many areas of the country.
And just finally, Alison, I apologise, we've only got a minute to the news, but what about the market that we vacated then, I think back in 2006 for sheep and last year for cattle? Is the marketplace still there?
Well, it's certainly in one facility, they're very eager to take Australian livestock. In fact, they had a contract at the time we put the suspension in place, which was to put meat in school lunches across Egypt. So they're particularly keen to see live cattle back in. The other markets, as I said, full of Brazilian cattle, where there are no conditions placed on their welfare. So that's unlikely to be a facility that will see Australian livestock in the near future. A shame, because us being in there, we would have raised the welfare standards and made significant improvement, not only for our cattle, but also for livestock from other nations.
Sounds like a campaign. Alison, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Alison Penfold is the CEO of the Australian Livestock Exporters Council.